You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Indianapolis, where the NFL scouting combine continues inside Lucas Oil Stadium. We're just under 2 months away from the NFL draft, but decisions already being made here about who to invest in. And if you're the Chicago Bears, you have the number one overall pick, so investing is fresh on your mind. Will they put their faith in Caleb Williams? We spoke to him today. You'll hear that soon. Michael Penix Jr. is here as well. We'll get to see him throw when the quarterbacks throw tomorrow. A lot on him as other teams are learning more about him. A couple wide receivers making their way around the combine, too. The dynamic Rome Odunze out of Washington. He spent some time with the media today. And the likely top receiver off the board in Marvin Harrison Jr. You see him going in, and we'll get to him a little bit more. There was some news around him today as we welcome you into NFL Live. Lots to get to today. We've got interviews with the top three quarterbacks that we'll share with you. Matt Miller, Adam Schefter, Mina Kimes. I'm Laura Rutledge, and we've got a lot to get to. So let's start about Marvin Harrison Jr. He missed his media availability. We're going to see a tweet here that explains a little bit more of it. Chris Carter said Marvin Harrison Jr. is currently with the medical people getting a body scan. Relax. Now, Adam, some of the relax part of this comes from everybody talking about it earlier, but what else can you add about Marvin Harrison Jr. today?
Marvin Harrison wasn't planning on doing any of the drills here, and he's spoken to teams, and I think he feels like he did what he needed to do. He doesn't feel obligated to talk to the media. He doesn't feel obligated to go through drills. He'll do what he wants, when he wants, at the team's discretion. If a team wants him to do something for that particular team, he'll do that. But I think he's standing on his own merits of his performance at Ohio State, thinking that he is regarded as arguably the number one wide receiver prospect in this draft, although I have heard quite a bit of chatter about some other players as they pertain to Marvin Harrison Jr. But the fact of the matter is, he thinks that he's the best player here, doesn't need to prove anything more, and so there's no reason for him to talk to the media or go through drills or do anything like that.
Yeah, it's his philosophy, his prerogative. You mentioned some of the chatter around some of the other receivers, but I think most people still have Marvin Harrison Jr. as the top receiver off the board. Matt, anything that happens here this week affect that, you think?
Nope. I think Adam's right. Just watch the tape at Ohio State the last 2 years. And I think that's what's interesting about Marvin Harrison Jr. individually, is that he's not a quarterback. We don't need to watch him evaluate against the other quarterbacks. I don't need to go watch him throw 40-yard outs. We saw him run those. Even a 40-yard dash. We have GPS timing for these athletes now. So a 40-yard dash, not as important as it might have been 5-6 years ago. So I agree with Adam. He can stand on the film. He can stand on the fact that his dad went through this process, the Hall of Famer from this very stadium, and say, we're going to go about this a little bit of a different way, almost like an NBA prospect. And if you want it, we'll give it to you, but we're not just going to hand it out there to all 32 teams.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. could show up in a SpongeBob costume and he would still be my number one.
Like,
I hope he does that.
He's as complete as it gets. You know, I mean, the athleticism, the size, the speed, the playmaking, all the sophisticated things he does as a route runner for the catch, the way he sets up defensive backs, tax leverage. He's just so dang complete. And another thing he has, I think, going for him relative to the other wide receiver prospects is he proved this year that he's pretty much quarterback proof, frankly. So, yeah, for me, it's just a matter of don't overthink this. There's guys like this every year, and he is one of them.
And I also would say this, that I think he's leaning squarely on the advice of his father, who's been through some things during the course of his Hall of Fame NFL career, to basically do what his father thinks is right. Fans can have their own opinions. Teams can have their own opinions. But Marvin Harrison Sr. probably thinks he knows what's best for his son, and I think he is calling the shots here.
I hear that. If he's wearing a SpongeBob costume, who's Patrick? Any suggestions? No? Yeah? I don't know. All right. We'll move on from that. We'll continue to keep you updated on everything related to these prospects here. Behind us, the tight ends and the cornerbacks are working out on the field. Workouts started about an hour ago. So, Matt, give us a couple things we learned in that time.
Yeah, Laura, the big news here with the tight ends is that Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, we're waiting to hear if he's going to work out still. We have no idea yet if Brock Bowers is going to work out. He said he is still trying to decide Spoke to his representatives today. They're not sure yet if he's going to work out. He did measure in at 6'3 1/8", which is a great measurement for him to come in over that 6'2" mark. That was one of the questions for him as that kind of slot tight end prospect who could very well be drafted in the top 10 to 15 picks. Now, Khalid McKinstry is another player who today it was discovered that he had a Jones fracture in his right foot, something he played through. Doctors and agents have shut him down. He said he's going to participate at his pro day at Alabama, and then he'll have surgery to fix this Jones fracture. It is a concern, though. This is a fracture that can create a recurrence of injury because it's that outside part of your foot where you put pressure to plant and cut as a corner. That's pretty important, so it's definitely a situation to monitor. Now, of the guys who have worked out, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, one of the stars at the Senior Bowl when we were down there, 4.33 seconds unofficially in his first 40-yard dash. That was the first jaw-dropping moment of the DBs running their 40s today. He backs it up on film. The speed is there. He's a technician at the line of scrimmage. He's feisty, and he's very much in play to maybe now be the first corner off the board thanks to this really strong workout that he started today. And if you want speed, Nate Wiggins has speed. 4.29 unofficial in his first and only 40-yard dash because he pulled up at the end of the 4.29. I spoke to his representatives right before we came on the air. They believe it's a hip flexor. They're going to ice it. They're going to reevaluate. He has nothing else to do today. Yeah. Running that fast, we don't need to see you jump when you can run a 4.29.
We saw him smiling, too. We had some ice on it earlier, so hope that he's all good. Lewis Riddick joining us here as well. And I want to stay on the cornerbacks. Mina, give us a guy in this class that you really like.
A guy that I like is someone who didn't work out, and it's possible his draft status is hurt because of it, because of the performance of these corners. And that's Cooper Jean out of Iowa. His tape speaks for itself. Just an elite zone corner, incredible route recognition, closing speed, physicality. And what I love the most about him, I think, is his own awareness of his athleticism that allows him to time when he jumps these routes so perfectly. It's disappointing because obviously he was injured and you want to see if he still has that speed. But if he falls because of this, some team is going to get an absolute steal.
Yeah, Cooper has got great size. He's tough. I mean, look, him and Riley Moss a year ago were really one of the best 1-2 combinations of corners in the entire, you know, FBS. And so, look, he is a fantastic, fantastic athlete. The thing that you know, that for me with the corners today, like, has me a little bit concerned is this issue with Kool-Aid. Because now you have to – look, anytime you have an injury to your foot and you're a defensive back and your whole life is about planting and driving and changing direction, that's something that really can cause – general manager some sleepless nights, and especially people who are in the training room trying to figure out whether or not this is something that's going to be recurring, if something that's going to like cause him to miss significant time, especially when you're talking about investing a first round pick in the guy. So I'm hoping he's able to get this corrected because he was one of the best corners in the country this year, but that is something that really is a red flag right now.
Yeah, it's something that, like I said, has to be monitored because I do think this is something we talk about what could affect a draft stock. This is something that can actually affect a draft stock where maybe you're a late first round pick right now, but because the Jones fracture, and depending on the body scans and the MRIs they do here, we'll find out how that looks and maybe even how long ago the injury happened that will determine, are you still a first round pick? Is something where you could slide to the second round, especially with strong performances by Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, and some of the other corners who are working out here. But to Mina's point, Cooper DeJean is fantastic. The broken fibula sounds like he's going to be back ready to go before the season starts, but I wish we could have seen him work out here.
Yeah, you know, a big part of the combine, of course, is the medical evaluations where these teams get a ton of information. These guys spend a lot of time in those medical evals. Kool-Aid McKinstry does plan to work out at Alabama's Pro Day. That comes up March 20th, and then he plans to undergo surgery. Mm-hmm. Let's move on with more on the quarterbacks getting here today. Some of them have been here all week long, but you see Caleb Williams on the left side of your screen, Jaden Daniels on the right side of your screen. The top two potential prospects, Drake May, is right in the mix as well, and we'll talk a little bit more about him. But Caleb Williams is Matt Miller's top quarterback prospect in this year's draft, followed by Jaden Daniels. Those two QBs also happen to be the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Daniels this past season and Williams in 2022. I caught up with both guys earlier today.
It's great. You know, it's a lot of great guys that had the option to be another number one pick, not even me, Caleb, you know, Drake May, those type of guys. So it's a blessing being in the conversation with those guys. You know, they're two great human beings outside of football.
Is it more important to be the number one overall pick, or is fit and how that's going to look for what's coming down the pipe for you matter the most?
I'd say both are important to me. I'd say that, you know, me getting on the team and then being in the right fit, I would say I would put it just right above being the number one pick, but being number one pick is really cool also.
You know, other great quarterbacks, so it's tough to just pinpoint one thing. Well, I should be the number one pick because there's so many other people that deserve it. I'll just say my playmaking ability. Obviously, you know, you got some freak monsters out there that are running very fast that could chase you down. So be able to get away from them, extend plays, and, you know, make plays down the field.
These 10-minute, 20-minute things are just, you know, they're testing your mental. They're trying to see if you fit for their organization. And if you can do it, they're testing your mental. They're testing how you are, who you are. They're asking questions about that. So it went really well, I believe. And, you know, we'll see where all of that goes.
If you end up being picked by the Bears, what would it be like to be in Chicago?
It would be dope. You know, this Chicago, obviously, there's a lot of greats that came. I played professional sports in Chicago, so it would be dope.
What did you take away from the Bears specifically?
Yeah, that they're serious about, you know, getting in position. Whether it's they keep Justin or me, getting in position to go win games, and so that's the main takeaway that I've gotten away from.
I just got to say really quickly, the NFL is in great hands with the future of the quarterback position already, but with these new prospects joining the league, they're dynamic, they are smart, they're exciting, and it was really fun to spend some time with them today. Mina, if the Bears are going to talk themselves into the number one overall pick and drafting Jaden Daniels, why would it be?
Oh, man, the dynamism. Okay, so Jaden Daniels this year led in, like, every statistical category. Yeah. That offense was a juggernaut. But something that struck out to me watching his tape over the last week that you can't always see in the numbers is the impact that his rushing ability, the threat of it, has on defenses. It's the same thing when you look at the All-22 for, like, Lamar Jackson. Suddenly you see these wide-open throwing windows at the second level. You see linebackers being pulled on a string by his movements. You see defensive ends reluctant. They're staying wide because they're so afraid he's going to keep the ball. That doesn't necessarily show up in the numbers, but it makes it easier for him, and it is going to make it easier for him at the next level as well.
Yeah, that ability to impact the entire game, even when you aren't directly impacting it, right? I think for him, it's so nip and tuck right now between him and Caleb. Like, I think now the conversation becomes, like, what really would be the separator for these two guys? If you're sitting there going, look, they both bring some very unique qualities to our organization on the field. What is the separator? And see, and this is what Ryan Poles keeps talking about that he's wrestling with. It's the personal and football character evaluation and how that relates to how he's going to be as a professional when he's away from the facility and how he's going to be as a professional when he's in the facility. Because quite honestly, when you get to the top of the draft like this, that's always the separator between guys who are average to good, good to great, great to Hall of Fame. It's that commitment to the game, the ability to handle distractions outside of the facility, and your ability to withstand the grind that comes along with being an NFL quarterback and having these kind of expectations put on you that come with being the top pick of the draft, man. I mean, you're the top pick. You have so much spotlight on you, so much scrutiny put on you. You better be rock solid. And that's what teams are going to have to try and find out, which one of these guys can really handle that.
Yeah, a lot of confidence amongst all three of those top guys. But Matt, one of the things that I talked to Jaden Daniels about today was his size, because we've heard people potentially point to concerns there. Do you think teams will be worried about him being too slight?
I mean, I think there's going to be some teams that look at him and say, there's no way you're 210 pounds. But I would look at the tape and say he rushed for over 1,000 yards in each of the last two seasons in the SEC, where they have some NFL-sized defenders. We saw him running through tackles against Alabama. So I don't know that it's as much of a concern as it is almost just like a cosmetic thing. Like, oh, wow, he's tall and slender. It didn't keep him from winning the Heisman Trophy this year, and it didn't keep him from being a great runner. As Mina pointed out, defenses have to respect everything he does with his legs.
Here's what I'll say, though, about him running through those tackles. He needs to stop that sometimes.
Yeah, I would like
in
him
the
sure
NFL
to do that.
Because
yeah.
those tackles will for be sure. made in the NFL yeah. where the players are bigger.
Yeah,
and
you know, and the last thing I'll say is this. I can't remember there being a guy in the NFL or a quarterback in the NFL that people say he got hurt because he's skinny. It's usually because you're going to get hurt regardless if your leg gets rolled up on or you take a headshot that's illegal or something like that. So I think this gets way overblown at this time of year because we're always looking for reasons to kind of like stack people.
Jaden told me God gave me this frame and it's done me really proud so far. So it did quite well in the SEC. Those pro days at USC and LSU coming up March 20th where you'll see him throw. We're just getting started here. The running back market fascinating this offseason. Should teams with a need try to grab one of the many big name free agents or draft someone in in a later round. Mina talks about the Lions' blueprint and how that could be instructive. Plus, Brock Bowers, one of the year's top draft prospects, but how will his skills translate to the NFL? Someone here says he can be just as impactful as Travis Kelce. Find out who said that next and what we'll see from Brock potentially on this field behind us today. We'll be right back from Indy.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The F1 season starts tomorrow morning with the Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix at the International Circuit right here on ESPN in the app. Max Verstappen begins his quest for a fourth straight Drivers' Championship, and he will start P1 after qualifying earlier today. Coverage starts at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. We're back here in Indy for the NFL Scouting Combine as we see the cornerbacks and the tight ends are going to be working out here. We'll keep you updated on the results that are happening behind us on the field. And Adam Schefter in with us here. Adam, the running back position absolutely loaded when it comes to free agents. Remind us just how many big-time veterans could be available as we look toward free agency.
Well, I think the biggest name will be Saquon Barkley, and the question will be whether the Giants tag him or not. The people around the league don't expect that that's going to happen. They think that Saquon Barkley will be allowed to test the market. The only thing that could somehow change that would be if the Giants felt like he meant so much to the franchise, John Mara loves him, that they decided to place the tag on him. But again, I think most people around the league consider that unlikely at this point in time. The Las Vegas Raiders also are not expected to tag their former franchise running back, Josh Jacobs. He is expected to become a free agent for certain, and that franchise tag number for him will be over $14 million. They would like to bring him back. They'd like to work to re-sign him, but Josh Jacobs is going to get a chance to test the free agent market. And when we talk about the free agent running back market, it's all about supply and demand. And the supply of running backs in the free agent market this year is vast. Take a look at some of the names. Barkley, Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, and it doesn't stop there. There are others, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There are all sorts of free agent running backs out there like Zach Moss. And so when you're talking about a draft also with a lot of good running backs, there aren't going to be a lot of running backs who are fortunate enough to cash in. Some will get paid, but more will be disappointed about what they're paid just because of the laws of supply and demand.
Yeah, I mean, the theme continues where the running back position may not have the value that it once did. But if you look at some teams' options in the draft, you mentioned it, potentially, you could look back at last year. The running back class was stronger than, possibly. Last season, we saw both Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs going in the first round. Bijan dynamic already for Atlanta. And the Lions have been proven right for taking Gibbs where they did. And so if you look at this draft, and if you look at free agency, Lewis, if you're a team in need of a running back, are you looking at free agency or are you looking at the draft?
I'm only looking at free agency if I can get a running back at my price because of the supply and demand equation. And honestly, look, there was only one running back on that first graphic that we had that was 30 and over, and that was Derrick Henry. Every other guy right now is being allowed to hit the free agent market. So what does that tell you as to the mindset of general managers? They're saying this. Number one, we know you. We know how good you are, and we still aren't willing to commit to you right now to a big-time contract, and we for sure aren't going to franchise you because they know that what the history is at the position. Despite the fact that these guys don't have a significant amount of tread on their tires, they're still not willing to go ahead and extend themselves, and they figure this. We can always find value at running back. We don't have to have Jahmyr Gibbs. We don't have to have Bijan Robinson. Just remember, and I know everyone's going to point to this, and some people will say this is an outlier, but the Kansas City Chiefs drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round.
Right.
And that right there is going to always work against running backs. It always is.
Yeah, and I think to your point, this is a deep running back class, especially in those windows. Round three, round four, round five is where you can find the best value. No, we are not going to see a first-round running back this year. Jonathan Brooks from Texas probably comes off the board somewhere in the 50s, depending on his recovery from the ACL injury that he suffered in November. He said this week he expects to be back for July 1st. He should be ready for training camp. But the running backs you see here, Estime, Allen, Benson Wright, those are third-round running backs who can come in and play a heavy role, whether it be as a tier one back like a Braylon Allen or Trey Benson in a downhill scheme, or somebody that can be a contributor in more of a rotation.
You know, for a long time, the approach was draft running back potentially early, like Saquon, and basically run him into the ground. I think where the league is going, and something that would work well now with this free agent group, is to draft a back later, maybe third, fourth, fifth round, and then pick up a free agent on the cheap. I mean, I really thought it was smart of the Lions to sign David Montgomery, even though they had they were planning on drafting Gibbs. But an example that comes to mind is Miami with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane, who was the third rounder. To me, that's probably a better approach in terms of hedging your bets, counting on proven production, pass protection in a lot of cases, and you can have a backup in case someone gets injured.
Yeah, I mean, really what you're doing is you're just trying to maximize value, right? You know that one guy can't carry the load. I mean, even Derrick Henry had Tajay Spears this year. And that's how everyone's going to try and construct it. Exactly. Yeah. So you're right. That veteran youth combination ultimately probably is a very smart way to go. But I think ultimately what general managers are concerned about the most is wear and tear. That simple.
Well, and as you think about the current state of running backs in the NFL, this could be the second time in the last three drafts that a running back is not selected in the first round. It happened in 2022, of course, as we know. More coming your way here on NFL Live from the Scouting Combine. And up next, the big men showed up and showed out yesterday. Stay tuned as we talk about which edge rushers solidified themselves at the top draft pick. You don't want to miss this. As Lucas Oil hosts the draft every year, this is where the NFL converges this time of year, deciding what the future of their team will look like. We'll be right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Man, I love a big guy running the 40. Makes me happy.
Laura's love of big men.
I've been knowing this for a long time.
But it's not surprising. It's a true love for the way that they move, for their athleticism.
It's funny because my husband is not a big man.
Laura loves when people do unexpected things.
It's almost like a mama bear where she says, you know what? I know, baby. They don't think that you guys can do the things that you do, and I just love it when you prove them wrong.
You know, as much as some things change, some things stay completely the same, and I still love the big men, and I love when they run the 40. I will never stop loving that.
It's just, you don't expect it.
Yeah.
You don't expect it.
Incredible athletes, and they were on display yesterday, okay? Yeah. You got to watch this. This was really cool to see them doing their thing out here at the Combine. Florida State defensive tackle Braden Fisk put on a show at 6'4", 292 pounds. Fisk ran the 40-yard dash in 4.78 seconds, the fastest time amongst defensive tackles. Then there's Texas's Devondre Sweat, who at 366 pounds ran the 40 in 5.27 seconds, the fastest time by a defensive player that weighed at least 350 pounds since 2004. And Penn State edge rusher Chop Robinson had himself a day. 254 pounds. You saw him running the 40-yard dash there in 4.48 seconds. An impressive time, too, that he posted of 1.54 seconds in the 10-yard split. I had to read those because we got to give those big men their love. Mina, as we take a closer look at the edge position, who sticks out to you, especially after the performances that you've seen here?
Yeah, I think Dallas Turner out of Alabama came in as a favorite, and he only, that favorite meaning the first edge taken, and he only solidified that position with his performance, which isn't surprising if you've watched him, but holy smokes, not just the 40 time, which was very good, but I believe a 40 and a half inch vert, and it shows up on tape. He's so explosive, incredible get off, but it's not one of the cases where it's all like raw potential as we've seen sometimes near the top of the draft recently. Actually, the production is there too. I don't think he has as refined a pass rush repertoire as Latu, mm-hmm. we both love, mm-hmm. but the potential is there. To me, he is the clear top choice.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Chop is going to make things very interesting, that being Chop Robinson from Penn State. I've seen some things where people think maybe he falls out of the first round heading into the combine. There's just no way. You can't be 6'3", 254 and run 4.48, have a sub 1.55, 10-yard split, and then throw on the tape. And when you watch this guy, he's shot out of a cannon, and he's coming around the corner about 2 feet off the ground. Look, him and Adisa Isaac this year for Penn State terrorized people. They absolutely terrorize them. And you see how he's put together right here. He has got it all. He's got power. He's got speed. He's got body control. He's got bend. And there you see he also jumped 35 in the vert, 34 and a half. I just don't see how he gets out of the first round. That first step get off is the kind of thing that Von Miller always says. You want to find a great pass rusher, tell me what his first step, his first two steps look like. Nobody out here can match Chops. Nobody. It's the best in football this year. I can't wait to see where he goes.
Yeah, and especially to come in at 254 pounds was a win for him, and then to run the 4.48 and show the explosive numbers and the jumps. Because I think on tape, you watched him sometimes and wondered, how big is he? Because he doesn't look to be naturally very long. That did show up with the 31.5-inch arm length, which is a little bit below where you want to be. But when you run a 4.48, it really doesn't matter how long your arms are because you can just play in space and go get the quarterback. But this is a very, very talented group of edge rushers. Darius Robinson probably plays defensive tackle. He weighed in at 285 pounds here at 6'5", but this is a list of five players who I think could be drafted in the top 20 because it's a premium position and they're all testing out of this world.
That'll be wild if that happens. You think about what the first night of the draft could be like. By the way, in Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 2.0, he has the 49ers taking Chop Robinson with the 31st pick in the first round. All right, let's carry on with what's going on behind us right now. The tight ends working out here in Lucas Oil Stadium, and Brock Bowers is the star Georgia tight end. We're still trying to figure out exactly what he's going to do today. We'll find out a little bit more as we pay attention to the field. But everyone who's turned on his tape, they know he's elite, right? He's an NFL-ready tight end at the position. Bowers, also one of the hardest workers you'll find. I can tell you this. I've watched him at many Georgia practices over the years. Despite the other NFL talent he's played with in Athens, he's always outworking them, and that is part of his game. That's part of who he is as a person. Matt, what's the pro comp for Brock Bowers?
Yeah, I look at him, and I see someone like George Kittle. I see someone like Sam Laporta, who was so good last year. And he came in, again, 6'3" and 1.8. That was a huge number for him to be 247 pounds. That's a great number for Brock Bowers, but you're getting someone that can move all across the offense. He can play. He played in the backfield at times at Georgia. Let's not forget, they handed him the ball as a tailback at times. He can play flexed out. He can play in line. I think his strength is something that's actually really underrated. So is he a great accomplished blocker like Kittle was coming out of Iowa? No, but I think the potential is there because the strength, and like Laura said, he wants to be great. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, the positional versatility puts a defense in a bind. Because if you have 12 personnel, two tight ends, two wide receivers, you go, well, should we leave a linebacker on the field? Should we put a defensive back on the field? You put a defensive back on the field, he's going to kill him. Okay, in the run game. You leave a linebacker on the field, he can get down the seam. He runs the wide basic, the 10, 12-yard in route. He runs as good as many wide receivers. He can make contested catches. He can run after the catch. He's great in the tight end screen game. He can do it all, and really, he's a headache. He's a big-time headache, and by the way, he's still an old-school throwback tight end that when you put him in the core, he's going to knock people off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, to Lewis's point, I think every offensive coordinator in the NFL is watching him and thinking, gimme, because of what he gives you in terms of how you can use personnel to manipulate defenses and get matchups. It is what we see now in the NFL. That is all the rage, and he's the perfect player for it. If Brock Bowers doesn't go in the top 10, it won't be because of Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Right.
It'll be because either other teams have other positions they need more, like wide receiver, offensive tackle, or because with the tight end position, you're not getting as much of a financial benefit from taking a tight end in the first round or near the top of the first round, even a tight end as good as he is.
Yeah, and if you think about it that way, a team could be getting a bargain if he falls at all outside that top 10. He is such a valuable player. We got more to get to here on NFL Live from the Scouting Combine as we carry on here in Indy. And still to come, what is the consensus on Drake May, where he stands as a top draft prospect? Well, Matt Miller explains why he's not as high on him as most draft experts. That's up next. Plus, you'll hear from May in an interview. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The next UFC event comes your way exclusively on ESPN Plus tomorrow afternoon, starting with the prelims beginning at 1 Eastern, followed by the main card featuring the heavyweight main event. We're back here in Indy at the NFL Scouting Combine. Glad you're with us. We're having a little bit of technical issues. That's why it took us a while to get back with you, but we're here. And Adam, I want to go to your top combine stories. What's the latest going on here that we need to know?
Well, the issues with Marvin Harrison Jr. are he's not going to go through medical testing here, and he's not going to work out here. He will meet with teams after this. He has met with some teams while he was here, but basically his work is done in Indianapolis. And Chris Carter said earlier this morning that he was in medical testing at a time when he was supposed to talk to the media. He wound up not speaking to the media at all. He wound up not working out here, will not work out in Indianapolis. And I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is leaning on his body of work, knowing that he's a top receiver, will be a top pick, and he doesn't feel like he has anything more to prove. We're waiting to see if Brock Bowers will work out later, still considered the top tight end prospect in this draft. You see the big numbers. There's been some speculation that he wouldn't participate in the drills here as the top tight end prospect in this draft, but we should see soon enough whether or not that happens. And of course, earlier today we had JJ McCarthy selling that he's counting on his performance as Michigan's quarterback when he was 27-1 as a starting quarterback for Michigan, not the stats. He feels like the stats are not really the big thing, in his own words, that all he cared about was being the best teammate he could be, best quarterback he could be, and he certainly was that in Michigan. You remember Jim Harbaugh saying that he's the best quarterback in Michigan history, and Jim Harbaugh and Tom Brady also played quarterback, best I can remember, for Michigan. And Nate Wiggins ran a 4.29, 4.28, 42nd yard dash. He did leave the field limping, suffered a groin injury. And look, after you run a 4.28, you can shut it down the rest of the day and say to the teams, we'll see at the pro day, he's done his work here running the 4.28. That certainly will help elevate his stock, as Matt can attest to. But 4.28 is the biggest statement that Nate Wiggins can make today.
Yeah, let's turn our attention to a little more of the quarterback conversation, and specifically around Drake May, who we have yet to talk about here today on this show. But that's because we're about to spend a lot of time on him, okay? Drake May is preparing to begin his NFL career after an impressive 2 seasons as North Carolina's starting quarterback. May had 11 games in which he threw at least 3 touchdowns and did not throw an interception, which led the FBS and was 2 more than both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Earlier today, I caught up with May here at the Combine. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly. No, just a competitor. Just a guy from the South who grew up, you know, 3 older brothers and just likes to compete. Loves ball and just got in there and just trying to show them that and really just, you know, show them that I'm not, you know, going to be a hotshot guy. Just going to go in there and work hard and ready to get to a new city.
You've worked with Philip Rivers. What has he told you about this process?
Yeah, just compete, man. I think he's just a guy who likes ball. You know, go up there, get on the board, and talk for hours. That's how you like it. And, one of the best in the game. The biggest thing I learned is how he stayed healthy for so long. He did it for so many years, playing all 17 games, and just learned that. And like I said, get out there every week and compete.
By the way, I want to clear one thing up. I asked Drake May who he was as a follow-up question because he told me he was trying to tell everyone here who he was. So I know who he is. But let's start with you, Matt. What do you make of May as a prospect?
He's a good prospect. I will say, I think I'm lower on Drake May than some of our colleagues here at ESPN, but he should still be a top 10 pick. He's someone that I view as a quarterback who actually needs to go somewhere where he can maybe sit and learn and be groomed a little bit more as a prospect, as opposed to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who are ready-made to step into a front office. So I think this is a spot where let's get him somewhere where he can clean up some of the lower body mechanical issues, where he can work on processing speed. But the arm talent is there. The athleticism is there. What he did the last years at North Carolina, he didn't have the weapons around him that Jaden Daniels had at LSU or the line that J.J. McCarthy had at Michigan. So talented player, but I think the best situation for him is maybe to sit and wait. Now, where is that situation? I don't know if there is one. That's the hard part. It's like, where do we get this guy? Mina's over here thinking Seattle. I'm sorry, he's not going to fall that far, I don't think. Yeah. But getting him behind a Kirk Cousins, behind a Geno Smith, that is the best spot for Drake May.
First of all, I love hearing that he's working with Philip Rivers. Yes. I expected him to say dadgum at some point while talking to you. Arm talent is the key phrase. It just jumps out on the tape. He's got a live arm. He's a playmaker. He has all the second reaction throws in his bag. The problem, and I think you would agree, is that sometimes he trusts that arm talent a little too much. Yeah. And that's where the Josh Allen kind of creeps in. And good and bad, by the way. And attempts throws that he shouldn't. But I will say there have been moments where he has played within himself that have really impressed me. One that stands out is against Duke. Game-tying drive, 41 seconds to drive the field. And just being patient, checking it down, getting the ball out on time, great command of situational football. If he can build off of these performances in conjunction with the physical tools, I think you have a really, really special quarterback. So if I'm a team interested in him, I'm asking him about those drives, what he saw, and then the drives where he didn't do that and what he saw there.
Yeah. What stands out to me this week is that there's a wide divergence of opinion on these quarterbacks. You don't sound particularly high on Drake May. That's okay. There are other people who are high.
Absolutely.
On him.
Yeah.
And he still, I believe, is going to be a top pick in this draft. Wherever he goes, whether it's 2, 3, 6, Seattle, wherever, he's going high. Quarterbacks are currency, and Drake May is going to be up.
A reminder, just for the top three picks right now, unless some of these are traded in some way, you've got the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots. So if you think about if he is the third off the board and he goes to the Patriots, could be an interesting situation for him either way. There's a lot of time before we'll know exactly what's going to happen with that. And we still have some more time here on NFL Live as we carry on. Glad you're with us. Coming up, Marvin Harrison Jr. has headlined this wide receiver draft class. But once he's gone, where should other teams look? Well, Lewis Riddick tells us why the tape doesn't lie when it comes to one prospect in particular. Stay tuned.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yo, grinding, working, watch me, working, can't stop me, dropping, perfect, I got me, I'm working.
Potentially historic wide receiver class. Touchdown, Marvin Harrison Jr.
You will want Marvin Harrison Jr. on your football team.
Here's the best tight end in the country, Brock Bowers.
Touchdown, Roma Dunze.
Malik Nabers putting on a show.
I'm a grind all day, I'm a grind it out.
Marvin Harrison Jr. here at the Combine, not meeting with the media today, as we've told you throughout the day. He decided to make his own decisions not to do that. But either way, the consensus number one wide receiver draft prospect. There are a couple other wide receivers here, too, though, that have a ton of praise. LSU's Malik Nabers and Washington's Romo Dunze met with the media today.
And when I get the ball in my hands, I'm able to do tremendous things with it, create space on different DBs, and able to make explosive plays downfield, take a 8-yard ride and turn it into a touchdown.
A lot of people underrate my speed, my explosiveness. I see a lot of that on tape and my separation as well. I don't know where some of those things come from. I feel like if you watch the entire tape, then you'll go see. For me, it's the approach. You know, people say it's 50-50. For me, it's 100-0, right? And I feel like, you know, you have to go in with that mindset that it's you and the ball, you know, that the defender is not even there, that, you know, if you go and elevate and go snag the ball, then you'll ultimately come down with it.
All right, so, Lewis, let's say that we all agree that Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in need of a great wide receiver and you've still got Malik Nabers, you've still got Rome Odunze available, where do you go?
I'm going with Malik because two things. One, he's a three-position player. He can be an X, he can be a Z, he can be an E in the slot. Heck, you could probably put him at running back. He plays so strong. He plays much bigger than his size. I'm interested to see what he weighs in at and what his height, what his actual measurables are. Because he plays like a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", 215 pounds. At the catch point, the guy is super strong. He's an acrobat as far as being able to get his body oriented to make tough catches. He's a guy who immediately turns into a runner after the catch. And he has got this that smooth acceleration to be able to separate down the field, separate coming out of the break point. So basically what you're saying is, well, you're saying he can do everything. Yeah, he
right.
can do
what
everything.
Can he do?
And when you have guys like that, and he just makes big play after big play, and he's just so smart as far as working it. So, I mean, there's a reason why Jaden Daniels had a great year.
Yeah.
And part of it is because of that. Now, that's not taking anything away from Jaden. But this guy is just legit. And I think he's going to be faster than Rome. And that was really the separator for me.
Yeah, and I think they're tied on my rankings right now. You saw the graphic. They're my number two and number three wide receiver. They also happen to be my number four and number five overall player. Mm. They're both really, really talented prospects. They're different, though. And it becomes a what is your flavor at wide receiver? Rome Odunze, 6'3", 215 pounds. He dominates on 50-50 catches. He is a true X wide receiver that lives on the outside. Nabers had a lot of his production come from the slot. They asked him this week, what's your favorite route? Slot fade. Yeah, because that was like 70% of his production was slot fade, which is valuable. They're both great players. I don't know how you pick between one if you're an NFL team. Yeah. It probably comes down to what's our scheme, who's our quarterback, and then what are we trying to accomplish? Is it more inside or outside with this wide receiver?
Yeah, I'll say this about Rome. It's almost impossible for me to imagine a world in which he's not good in the NFL, It sounds crazy, but I guess what I'm saying is his floor to me as a prospect is so high. He is going to be some lucky quarterback's best friend. He catches everything. He's physical. He's good after the catch. The problem is he's not quite as good after the catch as Malik Nabers, and that's why I have him over him. Putting myself in the mind of a defensive coordinator and who am I more afraid of, because of Nabers' speed with the ball in his hands, you're going to have to play more too high in response to him because he's just so dynamic. And again, Rome is so great too. I hate choosing between them, but I do give a slight edge to Nabers just because of the explosiveness.
Yeah, it is such a great deep wide receiver class. There's even some, of course, later on, as we've told you throughout this combine, and we'll keep telling you that you could get later on. We've got a couple seconds here before we go. We're going to see some quarterbacks throw tomorrow. Mina, what are you excited to see?
I mean, Penix will put on a show. Yeah. He throws such a pretty deep ball.
Yeah, I think for me, it's who can get on the same page with these receivers the quickest. Because I think when you show that kind of instinctive ability, that is really a harbinger of success in the future if you can do it.
Yeah, and I want to see J.J. McCarthy throw outside of the Michigan offense. Like, let me see you throw the deep ball. Let me see you throw outside of some of the structure that they provided with that great run game and the great offensive line. He's the top-rated quarterback working out here. This is a huge opportunity for J.J. McCarthy.
I will go so much as to say this. Just off camera, talking to some personnel people, they think J.J. McCarthy's going top five.
Ooh, wow.
I'm just telling you.
Drop that
somebody
bomb
just told
on
me
us.
That he may go top five. And I was
Listen,
just like,
the guy knows how to win.
I almost ran back in here and just like threw Adam off.
I get
here.
It.
I was like, hey, I got
All
some
right,
scoop.
We can't wait to see these guys throw. But it's time for one more thing before we go here on NFL Live. And check out this Jim Harbaugh story from the Michigan defensive back, Josh Wallace.
I got a little story for you. So my first couple of weeks up at Michigan, we had summer workouts. You know, Coach Harbaugh, he works out in the morning. And I walked past our cold tub room, and what we call it, the car wash. And he's in a full uniform. He had his khakis, polo, and in the ice tub. Like, it was crazy. So, yeah, so. No, I just walked past like everybody else, but that was kind of different to me. Yeah, I was just one of those.
You know, I don't have a bath in my hotel room here, but I don't know. Any you guys going to go take a bath in your suits?
No.
Like Harbaugh in his khakis?
Yeah. I have no comment.
I'm just glad Jim Harbaugh's back in the NFL.
I agree.
We needed him.
I'm just glad he upgraded the khakis. You know, that dad look from a while back needed to go.
Listen, is that his son that's in the box with him that they keep showing when they show a cut to him?
Yeah, I mean, cool.
It's
I think
cool, though. It's neat.
I will tell you this. I spoke to some people with the Chargers today, and they were saying just how wonderful he's been so far, how much he cares about the players already, mm-hmm. and how important it's been to get him in there. We are so glad that you joined us here from the Combine. We'll see you next week on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us.